So now to the New York Times article that set all of this discussion on body image into motion. Here's the headline. Tennis's top women balance body image with ambition. It appeared in the Times the day before Serena Williams heroically won Wimbledon. And without noting any problem with this, the Times quoted a number of athletes who chose not to emulate Serena Williams, quote, large biceps and mold-breaking muscular frame. Many readers wanted to know why the Times would publish an article that to them seemed to denigrate Serena Williams' accomplishments by noting her large size and winning strength. Joshua Du Bois tweeted, reaction to Serena piece not overblown, premise and execution both classically racist and shot through with implicit bias. Feminist writer Roxane Gay tweeted, that New York Times article on Serena's body is so misguided and racist and utter trash. Earlier this week, Margaret Sullivan, public editor of the Times, took up the concerns, quote, I see this article as a missed opportunity to really get under the surface of a pervasive and troubling issue in women's sports, and particularly women's tennis. To the Times' credit, they did speak with Serena Williams, who spoke candidly about how she has had to learn how to love her body, being a professional tennis player. I sat down with Jason Stallman, the Times sports editor, who claims that his freelancer, Ben Rothenberger, who wrote the piece, and four Times editors, three of whom were female, understood the sensitivity of this subject when they greenlighted the article.
Serena has pretty firmly established herself as the greatest tennis player of our generation, probably the best female player ever. Ben Rothenberg covers the sport probably more comprehensively than anyone. He's with these players day in and day out for much of the year. He picked up on something pretty interesting playing out that nobody had really explored before, and that is that, you know, Serena's rise to dominance has partly been attributed to her power game. She hits the ball a lot harder than most of her opponents, and it enables her to control matches. So he started wondering why other women's players didn't try to kind of match her stroke for stroke in that way. And it turns out that, you know, many of them very candidly explained to Ben that they don't want to reshape their bodies in that way, that they want to maintain a slimmer, more traditionally known, girly figure. And we just thought this was a inherently interesting notion that female athletes were having to make such a decision, and that many of the top professionals in the world were making that choice not to bulk up, as they said.
And the pitch was based on responses to the question, why haven't you matched Serena's success in the power game? She's apparently willing to have a body image that other tennis players aren't willing to have.
Right. You know, Serena spoke quite openly with Ben about her own body and how, you know, it took her a while to sort of have some level of self-acceptance. She has said that she even covers her arms when she's in public sometimes because her arm muscles are so big. And, you know, she said she stays away from weightlifting because she doesn't need that to gain any more bulk. So with Serena speaking so openly about this issue and having other players discuss their own situation, we thought that was just really interesting material for a story that hadn't been told before.
So when Claire Potter posted in outhistory.org in a quote that was taken by your public editor and published in the Times, I don't know why I am surprised that the New York Times would publish a piece that supports female body hatred, that a male reporter would support such a narrow beauty standard for women, or that women's tennis players would be proud of their endless willingness to be gender police for each other. But I am surprised. How do you respond to that?
I guess, with all due respect to Ms. Potter and our public editor, I'm just a little astonished that people think we should ignore these issues and not write about them. You know, the New York Times wasn't taking the position on female body image. We were letting the tennis players speak for themselves. And as professional athletes and adults, I think I'd rather allow them to make the case for how they handle their bodies rather than for us try to make that for them. So, you know, the public editor's piece was met with a lot of laughter and eyebrow raising in the newsroom. I'm still digging through emails of kind of shock from the position she took that we should advocate certain ways in our news stories. And would certainly defy about 150 years of New York Times tradition.
But Rothenberg himself says, I should have challenged the norms rather than just stated them as a given.
Right. I think, you know, I wasn't there when Ben spoke with the public editor. I think what he's saying was he should have asked the tennis players these follow-up questions. I don't know that we would necessarily adopt those opinions as our own. And that seems to be a lot of the negative reaction has been that the New York Times didn't advocate a certain way. And that's just not our position. It seems that people take exception to what the tennis players and their coaches were saying, which is one thing, but we didn't have a position on the issue.
Among the conversations that came out of that piece around here was someone who said that a fantastic elementary school athlete, black girl, is training and trying to figure out what sort of sport she could go into, and it could be any. And her mother told her that, you know, she doesn't want her to play tennis or basketball because she doesn't want her to end up looking like that, all muscled up. And everyone sort of understood what the mom was saying. Do you think this situation for women is something that is handed to them, you know, at birth by some sort of sociological set of rules? Or is it something that's reinforced by the media and is kept going? And if it weren't for various external factors, would just sort of go away?
It's a great question. I can't pretend to have a level of expertise to know the answer. I will say that I find the reaction to athletes like Serena Williams interesting because they're so varied, right? For so long, most of the most prominent female athletes that we're introduced to are tiny gymnasts or figure skaters, and moms would lament that, you know, these are the role models for my daughter, who probably won't grow up to be so tiny. And suddenly we have a different type of model for athletic excellence and what we see in Serena Williams or even Abby Wambach of the U.S. women's soccer team. And one of the female staff members here said that she thought it was invigorating Saturday to watch the Wimbledon final with her daughter and think that, great, for once she can watch sports and look at an athlete who is curvy and not, you know, extremely thin, and look up to that person and think, that could be me someday. So as we see, you know, these different body types, I think that's probably a healthy thing for society.
Well, for all of the pain and suffering and success that you had in this particular piece, you're a part of it as well. And thanks so much for speaking with us.
Thanks, John. I guess if there is, you know, one thing I would like to emphasize, it's that this was treated as an extremely sensitive and fraught issue, and we, you know, did our best to talk through these things and get a variety of viewpoints involved before we published. And you know, regardless of people's reactions, we, you know, hope to do a better job next time and keep exploring these difficult subjects.
Thanks, Jason.
Thanks, John.
Jason Stallman, sports editor for the New York Times.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.